This is Stateside. I'm Lester Graham. A lot of us love our wide variety of Michigan beers and ales. I don't think it's too strong to state we feel a sort of ownership of our favorite brews. That's why eyebrows were raised a little bit more than a year ago when we heard Founders Brewing Company was selling 30% of its business to a foreign investor. The partnership with the Spanish brewer Mao San Miguel opens up a huge new market for the Michigan company. With us to talk about that move is one of the founders of Founders, Mike Stevens. Before we start talking about the partnership, what kind of response did you get to partnering with the Spanish brewer? Because social media was all abuzz about it at the time, and not all of it was terribly positive.
Yeah, we were highly sensitive to the way our consumers would look at it. We had an army of PR folks the day of our release stationed here just to monitor social media. And Lester, I got to tell you honestly, of the negative response, they kind of pie chart the day. I mean, at the end of the day, we only had 4% negative response to our release of the news. So overall, it was very, very positive. There was obviously a lot of just neutral responses on the social media. But I think all in all, we did a great job messaging the platform. And, you know, it's an authentic platform. So I think once you hear the story of why, it makes sense.
Well, a lot of people were saying, let's wait and see. So I'm wondering what's happened now. What kind of stepping stone is this partnership and worldwide distribution of Founders Beers and Ales?
Well, prior to our partnership with Mao San Miguel, we were probably distributing into maybe 10 countries. We are now in 22 countries. They have global distribution. They don't distribute here in the United States. They've had a high respect to the way we go to market in the U.S. If anything, they want to learn from us how American craft beer plays domestically. But where they offer some help to us is on a global distribution outlook. And these are folks that have been doing this for 125 years. Same family still owns the brewery. And, you know, they're the ones that we get together with quarterly at the board meetings. They're wonderful, wonderful people. And they care about legacy of brands. When we went down the path of looking at succession planning, the number one thing that was important to us was legacy of our brands. It was important that Dave and I and the ownership saw a way that, you know, someday when we're gone and no longer selling beer, the brand can still survive and give opportunity for our kids to be a part of the brewery and create the next generations, just as the folks at Mao have.
So has most of this distribution been in the EU?
Yeah, most of it is. Our real hotspots would be England, Scandinavia, Australia, believe it or not, sells quite a bit. We've entered a little bit into the Asian markets, and that looks promising. And we are just about to open Mexico, which also I think should be pretty promising for us.
So what's been the impact of all this expansion as far as at the brewery in Grand Rapids?
You know, our team is used to 50% plus growth rates for last 8 years. Honestly, our compounded annual growth rate has been around 60%. It's dynamic here, but it's also all we know. You know, life will slow down, I think, for us someday, and I would say that's within maybe 3 to 5 years, but we've still got a lot of growth to do. We're completing an expansion here at the corporate headquarters on the southwest corner. Be wrapping that up in about 6 months, and then we purchased a building, 200,000 square foot building just off of 131 here in downtown Grand Rapids that will be taking care of all of our warehousing needs, as well as a new brewery that will focus solely on our specialty products and barrel aging products. That will be completed around August.
Sounds like you just have terrible problems.
Yeah, we're fortunate. The world likes beer, and they obviously like good beer now. So it's a change. It's a shift in palates. And
yeah, I want to talk about that just a little bit. You know, when I travel increasingly around the U.S., I see or I can expect to find Founders Ales, even in an area such around St. Louis, Missouri, which has some decent craft brewers and a little company called Anheuser-Busch. Just
right.
How far and wide are you distributed in the U.S.?
Yeah, we're in call it 40 states, and we are in 22 countries. Founders right now is the 13th largest craft brewer in the country. With our growth rate and with the success of one key brand, All Day IPA, the trajectory of that has us somewhere around probably 700,000 barrels to 1 million barrels by 2020.
Yeah, I think for people who aren't familiar with that, it is an IPA, as it says in its name, but it's a session IPA, which means it's lower in alcohol, which is attractive these days.
That's exactly it. I mean, we cut our teeth making really what they call high gravity, which is basically, you know, it's a high alcohol beer because you could get very creative. The higher the alcohol, you know, it allows for some creativity. But through the decades, we started to see some trends where this craft beer movement, very strong, very alive. The individuals want full flavor, but got to the point where we were sick of, you know, 8, 9, 10% beers. So we developed this session ale, we call it, and we were kind of the first to market with it. So we're finding that right now All Day IPA is the number one selling session ale in America by volume. And our can pack in particular is the number two best-selling craft can pack in America. So it's really done a lot for us in terms of our growth and our trajectory and kind of getting us on that national platform. We are definitely considered one of the national players in the craft scene now.
We've seen a lot of craft brewers pop up in Michigan as well as across the entire country. Some of them are putting out some great product. How close is the craft brewing industry to market saturation or oversaturation?
Well, I think there was probably around 400 breweries when we started 20 years ago, and there's about, I think, 4,300 now. So it's definitely grown. I mean, we have more breweries now in the United States than we did in the history, you know, prior to Prohibition when there was a brewery on every corner. We've exceeded that number now. But, you know, I'm not fearful that we've reached saturation at all. I actually still feel that the current market share that we have in the U.S. with American craft beer could double in the next 10 years. And I honestly don't think that's far-fetched. And I think a lot of industry analysts you would find are saying the same thing.
I was going to say there are a lot of Bud Light, Miller Lite drinkers out there who just can't see paying $12 for a six-pack of ale or beer, or just don't appreciate the products from the craft beer producers. How far can the craft brewing industry go before it runs out of converts?
Well, here's the situation. Here's where I think you just have a fundamental switch or change, a paradigm shift, I guess, in the beer palate world. But, you know, when we opened our brewery, we had a lot of parents coming in, you know, had little kids, and now we're serving those little kids. There's a whole new generation that we've watched grow up watching mom and dad drink nothing but craft beer out of their fridge or at their favorite restaurants. These kids, you know, they're our customers who we talk to and who we engage with. They know nothing other than craft beer. The concept of grabbing a Bud, a Miller, a Coors does not even exist in their mind. So you've got a whole nother generation coming that's going to just snowball this craft beer movement even greater. This is where I see that this market share can continue to grow. I think there's always a place for Bud, Miller, and Coors, but quite frankly, a lot of that opportunity now is overseas.
What's next for founders?
Keep doing what we do. You know, I mean, that's what's next really is probably a focus more on our specialty products. You know, it's the world that we love as home brewers, and that's why we're building the new facility so that we can kind of get back to some of those roots. You know, All Day has kind of consumed the capacity here in the main campus. So I think it's just more creativity and more just living life and having fun. I mean, we're a company built on no regrets, and it's kind of our motto around here. And as long as we're still having fun, we're going to keep doing it. And I just can't imagine not having fun in the beer industry.
That's Mike Stevens, who, along with Dave Engber, has started the Founders Brewing Company in 1997 in Grand Rapids. Thanks very much for talking with us.
You got it, Lester. Thank you.